This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. And again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in. And we trust the program will be a help and a blessing to you. We trust that it encourages you and maybe even challenges you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there. This program can be re-listened to there. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website again is bdcministries.com, and this postal address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, the past few weeks I've been playing some recordings from 2 years ago because I've had trouble with the program that I normally use to record. I'm hoping I can overcome that and record a new one for you today. And today I want to continue with the theme that we were looking at before I did the played the old recordings. I want to look at the theme where we were looking at some of the characters, the important characters in our Bible, and of course we've been going through the Old Testament. Now, we finished up with Moses, who was not able to go into the land because he had sinned when he struck the rock twice in anger before the children of Israel, and God said that was going to keep him from going into the land. And really, we have seen that the Old Testament is a picture of New Testament truth. It's often a principle of New Testament truth. And what we really saw with Moses was that the law stands or falls together. And if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we are guilty of all. But we are thankful that while Moses was guilty, and in a physical way was not able to enter into the land, we have shown that he was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration in the New Testament, and so he did enter into the land from the standpoint of his spiritual well-being. But we want to move on now to Joshua, because Joshua was Moses' assistant, and Joshua becomes the key player after Moses is taken off the scene. Moses died and was buried, although his tomb was never found. There was never any grave given, any headstone given that could be used as a place of celebration or maybe even a place of worship or idolatry. So we now have Joshua coming on the scene, and in a sense, Joshua is a picture of what we had with Paul and Timothy. I really think that Joshua represents a New Testament deacon. Now, people disagree with me on what a New Testament deacon is. The word means servant. But it seems to me that a New Testament deacon is one who serves the needs of elders, and they become proficient in what needs to take place. And if elders or bishops, or whatever you want to term them in your particular church, if those elders who are called by God and are ordained by God do a good job, they tend to work themselves out of a job because they've trained people under them to do the work that they do. But they're available always for counseling and for teaching, and they're available to be a help to the new generation that is coming along. And that's really what happened in the case of Joshua. His name really means Jesus. And he was the captain of their salvation as they went into the land of Israel. His name draws our attention to the fact that the Lord's name is a takeoff from the Old Testament name Joshua, and he was called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. So now we have Joshua, who was Moses' assistant, and he is ordained by Moses himself to take Moses' place. We'll read that in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 13. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God, and that's where Moses received the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 24. And when we look at Joshua, we find out that there were 12 spies that were sent into the land, and he was one of the 12. Now, there's two of those spies whose names we remember. One is Caleb, and one is Joshua. There's 10 spies whose names are given, whose names we don't remember, and that's because they did not have confidence that God would be able to deliver them from the giants that they saw in the land. But he was one of the faithful spies with Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were two who said, let's go in and take the land because God has given it to us. We can easily overcome the obstacles, the enemies, and the giants that are found in that land. And so when the children of Israel were turned away from the land at that time, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, probably a total of 38 years, until the army that they were afraid was going to be destroyed if they went into the land at that time all died. And once that particular army, those 20 years old and older that were able to bear arms, died, then all but Caleb and Joshua were kept out of the land. They died before they got into the land, and Caleb and Joshua, men of faith, went into the land. So Moses speaks of the law, Joshua speaks of faith, and it's by faith that we walk today if we're saved. Find out that we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. So we walk based on the instructions that God has given us in his word. So in Joshua 31, verse 23, we find out that Moses was inaugurated, really, Joshua. It says, then he inaugurated Joshua, the son of Nun, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land of which I swore to them, and I will be with you. And then, of course, one of the first things that Joshua does after Moses has died is he takes the children of Israel across the Jordan River. Moses brought them through the Red Sea, and now we find out that Joshua takes them across the Jordan River. And it's a miracle because the Jordan is flooding at this time. And most of the time, it would be very difficult to take probably was 2 million people across the Jordan River at flood stage. But nevertheless, he was able to do that because God stopped the waters of the Jordan River up north of where they were going to cross near Jericho. And they crossed over. The priest had to put their feet in the water, and then they crossed over into the promised land. And the Jordan River is often thought of as symbolically speaking of death. And so they crossed over through death into the promised land. Now, that's one way of looking at the symbolism that we're playing with here. But another way of looking at the symbolism is that once we are saved, we have died to self. We have yielded ourselves as instruments of righteousness to God. So we've died to self so that we can live in the power of the Spirit of God, when we can say like Paul did, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so we would look at it in a sense as passing over Jordan so that if we die physically, we end up into the blessings of heaven. But more importantly, it probably represents the fact that once we're saved, there's blessings ahead of us. There's an inheritance that we have to possess. It's going to require us to fight. It's going to require us to walk by faith and not by sight. But that inheritance is there for us, and we have to possess what God has given us. And that's essentially what Joshua did. He helped the children of Israel possess a land that had been given to them. And unfortunately, they never fully possessed all that was theirs. And that's the case with us. we often never fully possess all that God has given to us. But Joshua was not able to do this on his own. There's an interesting passage in Joshua 5 which says, "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho." Now this is after they've gone into the promised land. "It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, 'Are you for us or for our adversaries?' So he said, 'No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, 'What does my Lord say to his servant?' Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, 'Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy.' And Joshua did so." And so this was sort of the commission that Joshua was given. It was similar to what happened to Moses on the backside of the desert when he saw the burning bush. But he had to understand that he wasn't going to go and fight this battle on his own. He had one in heaven who would be fighting for him, and I think this is a pre-incarnate revelation of the Lord himself. And so he was able to go in the confidence of this, also being willing to submit to the fact that he wasn't really doing this in his own power. It wasn't him that counted here. It was the Lord that really counted here. And that's what we have to get a hold of in order to be saved. We have to find out we can't save ourselves, that only God, through the mercies that he has extended at the cross of Calvary, can save us. And we're saved by faith. We're saved by taking God at his word, that Christ did die for our sins. And then after we're saved, we have to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. And that's often difficult because we have a hard time not telling God how to do his business. We want to tell him what to do instead of having him tell us what to do. And we oftentimes put God in a spot because we aren't really submitting to him as our leader, in this case, as the captain of our salvation. And so then we come into chapter 6 of Joshua, and we the book of Joshua, and we see this great victory over Jericho. And maybe next time we'll spend a little time on it. I think I've spent a little time on it before, but there's a great victory over Jericho, and Joshua leads that victory, and as a result, he's established as one that the children of Israel can have true confidence in. So when we're saved, it's one thing to know that Christ died for sins, but then after we're saved, it's another thing to be able to rejoice in the fact that God leads us and guides us. Now we trust our God that you'll bless what we've tried to present today, that you'll bless thy word and bless those who have listened. We thank thee for thy salvation in our Savior's name. Amen.